Earlier in the year, Wallace had gone in his wheelchair to the historic Black Dexter Avenue Baptist Church in Montgomery and asked for forgiveness from the African-American community of Alabama. His conversion and contrition appeared sincere. They responded with not only forgiveness, but they took a page from the biblical parable of the prodigal son, and they rewarded him with their votes and elected him their governor. Wallace showed his appreciation. He was very loyal to the African-American community during that last term. Wallace himself respected and appreciated political loyalty. After he defeated McMillan in the Democratic primary, his election in the fall was assured. This was 1982. I'd just been elected my first term in the legislature. I was 30 years old. My district included not only my home county of Pike, but also Wallace's hometown of Clayton in Barber County. My race was over because all of us had already won our House seats. Most of us didn't have Republican opponents. However, a very contentious race was brewing for Speaker of the House. And there were 35 of us who remained uncommitted. We were being bombarded daily. We were the battleground. I told both sides I was uncommitted. They both had endorsed me. Unbeknownst to them, I was committed. I'd grown up in the legislature. I knew that the governor had always been involved in electing his man as speaker. In addition, I knew George Wallace. I knew he was not going to relinquish his power easily. I also knew the governor had a lot of power and patronage. I also was cognizant of the fact that I was going to be Wallace's representative, and I knew how much he appreciated loyalty. I went to Wallace and committed to him early on that I was for his choice for speaker. His smile showed me his appreciation and affection for my commitment. He says, "Steve, you know, I've got this race with Emory Farmer before I can get down to that kind of business, but I do appreciate your commitment, and we'll get with you after the election." The battle for speaker raged on unabated. I was bombarded daily. I stayed committed to the governor's choice, whoever that might be. With Wallace's aura and experience, it should have been obvious to both sides that he would be a major player in the speaker's race. About a week before the vote, my phone rang about midnight, and Governor Wallace was on the phone. He says, "Steve, you're one of the first legislators we're calling. I want you to hold on a second. I want you to talk to somebody." He handed the phone to longtime Coleman Representative Tom Drake. Drake was said to be so loyal to Wallace that if Wallace asked him to jump off the top of the Capitol, Drake would have only asked, "What time do you want me to do it, Governor?" Drake told me he was Wallace's choice. I told Drake, "I don't know who you are, but if you're Wallace's man, y'all can count on me." This commitment to Governor Wallace did help me immensely with the Wallace administration. I never had a better relationship with the governor than I did those 4 years with Wallace. He made me one of his floor leaders, and I got just about everything I wanted from my district the entire quadrennium. Thank y'all for listening.